Well, this message was quite challenging for me as I prepared it this week, and I kept thinking, oh no, I don't want to talk on that. God, I don't want to talk on that. But he always gets his way. And so I bring this message today believing in my heart that God wanted me to share this. It's a little bit about end times and how we can be deceived in the end times. We know the devil's a deceiver. And there's often confusion about the events of the end times. So we've done a lot of this in Bible study, which has made a lot of this clear. But this is just some of an overview of the things that I felt God wanted to share with me today. So I pray that this message opens our eyes to the concerns of the last days. And so I'm going to start with scriptures in 2 Thessalonians. And then as we go through, we'll unpack it. Okay, chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. Now, just stop there for a sec. That's an interesting scripture, isn't it? If people have been troubling us in an evil or an unjust way, his justice will pay back those who persecute you. So we don't need to worry about that. And it is going to come because we know the Bible tells us. And then he goes on to say in verse 7, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. Don't want to be one of them. And on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And of course, that place is the lake of fire, the place of the eternal separation from God and no longer hope of any salvation. As we read forward, we're going to jump to chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our gathering together with him. This is talking about the rapture, the catching up of the saints. We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. You see, some are going to tell us we got it wrong. Some people are going to say, no, that's not it, you've missed it. The Lord's already come, and there's people that have all those different opinions. And he's writing to these people, they were false prophets, and he's saying, don't let all that stuff that's going on, don't let it trouble you. Verse 3 goes on to say, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come. This is interesting. That day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. And that's a reference to the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. We're going on to verse 7 and 8. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Well, you think, well, wow, what's all that saying to us? And that's what I want to speak about today, because God has stirred my heart. And really, it's about Satan's master plan in the end times. And the first thing I need to say is that we can already see signs of the times happening. We can see the world in turmoil like it's never been before and getting worse. And there are some quite amazing truths in these scriptures and concerning end times. And you know, we're seeing prophecy being fulfilled at quite a rapid pace. Every day we can pick up the newspaper or watch the TV and there it is, right there in front of us. But the first thing that Paul says that we are to do when we start seeing all these things begin to happen, and of course Matthew 24 is a great chapter which tells us the things we're going to see. When we see these things start to happen, and the signs of the Antichrist coming on the scene, the first thing he says was, don't be troubled, okay? Make sure you who are troubled rest with us. This is a great place to come and to find peace, isn't it? But we can do that anytime at home. So if you are troubled, it says, come and rest with us. And the word rest mentioned by Paul has two dimensions. We can rest in knowing that our sufferings are strengthening us, making us ready for Christ's kingdom. And we can also rest in the fact that one day everyone will stand before God at the time wrongs will be righted and judgment will be pronounced and evil will be terminated. So number one, don't be troubled, don't be disturbed. He wants us to have peace in all the unrest. Peace in the middle of uncertainty. Peace when the economic world is crashing, or socially, and all the things we're seeing in the political realm, all of that. He assures us and reassures us by saying, you who are troubled, rest with us. So that's really important that we get that first. And worry often sneaks up on us, doesn't it? I know Graham, when he watches the news, he can quite often get all upset and, you know, government this, government that, whatever. But we're not to be troubled. We're not to be troubled. So these are powerful words because we can get overwhelmed. Another translation says disturbed or dismayed, but we can't be upset or anxious about it or fearful. We are to keep hope alive because we have a sovereign God and he actually knows what he's doing. He knows all that's happening. He's allowing it. He knows. And he's got a plan for his children and he's got a plan for his church, people. Okay? Thank you, Linda, for that word today. That's encouraging. Okay. I mean, I'd be worried if I didn't know Jesus. I'd be worried. But then people that don't know him don't know to worry, or they don't know. That's where we come in. So there is comfort in this verse that we are to rest in the promises of God. Rest in what Jesus did at the cross. Rest in the fact that he said, I'm coming back. And in the middle of all this, his plan will be released. We have to remember, although, that we do need to stand up against evil laws. And lately we've been putting in submissions against the taking off the tax deductibility for Christian schools and Christian organisations. We are to stand up against those things as much as we can. But our hope is not in the political world, is it? We still have to do these things and stand up for what we know is right in those areas and fight for our future, but our hope isn't in that. Our hope isn't in the economy. When interest rates are going crazy, if you've got a mortgage, good if you've got investments. And the hope of the world is certainly not in science or medicine. It's in Jesus Christ. And you know, through all these things, he cares for us. He protects us and provides. Last week we talked about Elijah, and there was no rain on the earth because Elijah had prayed to stop it because it was decreed in God's word. And Elijah then prayed 3.5 years later for it to come. And in that 3.5 years, there was drought. And yet God provided ravens to bring him food, a widow who had no food left made food because God was that provision. And every little thing, you look in the Bible, when God sends a prophet or someone on a mission, he provided. And so when things crash around us, we need to trust that he will provide for us and take care of us. And so it goes on to say that the Lord Jesus shall appear. You know, when you think about it, that's the same Jesus that was crucified and nailed to that tree. He's the same one that's going to appear suddenly and secretly. And he's going to catch us away on that day when the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed from heaven. He's coming on time too. He won't be 1 second late or 1 second early. And actually, in the old prophet, Old Testament prophet Malachi says this in verse 4 2, chapter 4 2, but you who fear my name, the Son of righteousness shall arise with healing, healing in his wings. And arise here is a reference to the sun, and the sunrise comes up every morning at the right time. You can't hurry it and you can't stop it, as it will be with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's coming with healing in his wings. And secondly, he says, this is really important, do not be deceived. Let's just look at that verse again. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, at the son of perdition. This is really important. Don't be deceived. We know the devil's a deceiver. And how do you know you're deceived? We've got to keep in check, don't we? We've got to keep in check with the word, keep in church, keep in check with one another, because Satan is the father of lies and he loves to use deception to draw us away. And we all know someone, probably, who has been deceived, either saying, no, there's no God, or gone off track, gone off base with their with the word of God, taking things out of context, and we can all know people like that. And that's one of the devil's favourite tricks. It says that Christ will not come until the Antichrist is starting to be revealed. Notice the word here, it says the man of sin is revealed. Now, that shows us how far the human race has come. We started out in the Garden of Eden with the sin of man, and by the end times and the last days, it is the man of sin. There will be a man of sin, the Antichrist, also known as the lawless one. And we already are seeing social unrest and lawlessness in the streets of our cities and neighbourhoods being taken over by lawlessness. Again, you only have to turn on the news every day. It just seems like it's out of control and people have lost their minds. And law and order is so out of control in many areas. And it's just one of the signs that the lawless one is about to be revealed, the man of sin, as the scriptures call him. And then the book of Revelation, it goes on to describe him. He is the epitome of evil. Revelations calls him the beast, meaning he will have the nature of a beast. He will be anti-Christ and he will be anti-church. And isn't it amazing that Jesus said he would not come until there would be a great falling away first. And the falling away has to do with the church. People falling away, not coming to church, leaving churches and doing their own thing. And the spirit of the Antichrist is doing his best to cause many to fall away. We already have seen people leaving and families, and you know, it just takes one person in a family to not go on with God, and there's a generation below that don't know God. And we talked to Cole, our high school scripture teacher, last week, and they don't even know anything about God. This generation knows nothing, and that's what the enemy wants, to deceive someone, and then if they can take them out, they've almost got a line of a generation there. And of course, we're seeing people out of the habit, I'm not talking about here, I'm talking about in general, that are stopping going to church and worshipping God. So there is a great falling away that has to happen before Jesus comes and before the Antichrist is revealed. And remember, he is anti-Christ, he is anti-church, he is anti-Israel, and he is anti-Bible. Satan's plan has always been to exalt himself before the throne of God and set himself up and cause people to worship him. And when the Antichrist comes, he will not only take over the world, but he will cause the worship to leave the church. We saw that through COVID to a degree, didn't we? How the world could shut the church down, stop us from singing. I think if we had that again, I don't think we'd be listening so much, would we? Because they tried to shut the church down. Praise God, we obeyed the laws that were put before us, and we worshipped in our heart, and we did what we had to do, but we're back together and we're going to not stop our worship to God. Well, the church eventually will be taken out. I'll get to that one. So the Antichrist will be revealed. The word revealed means exposed, so he will be shown for who he is, which tells me, and I believe with all my heart, that the coming of the Lord is near. Don't know how near, I'm not about to say, because I don't, the Bible doesn't tell us specifically. So, you know, the Antichrist could be alive and well on this earth. Could be, I say, don't quote me. But the unveiling of the beast is what we are beginning to see in our world. And we are watching things that we'd never dreamed would take place in our lifetime. Verses 6 and 7 say this. And now, we'd read them before, just read them again. And now you know what is restraining. Just think of that word restraining. That he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. So the mystery of lawlessness will start to show itself just before the beast is revealed. Just before he's revealed, Jesus will come. But the Bible declares that the spirit is being held back. This is good news. They're still restraining, still holding back. And we can get excited about that because it says he who restrains the work, and in this context it means restrained in the Bible, declares that the spirit's being held back. So who is the restrainer? Who is the restrainer holding him back? Who is stopping the hordes of hell from taking over until the Antichrist is revealed? Well, this got me thinking, and I looked up lots of things and went into some extra places. And what I found was some varying opinions. I know I'm just going to tell you what I think in a minute. But it says that some say the government and the laws help to curb back evil. Nope. Some say the ministry and the activity of the church affects the good news. Others say they're not sure, but only that he will not restrain forever. Or is it the Holy Spirit? Is it the Holy Spirit? Well, I believe the Holy Spirit is the restrainer. We could say that the Holy Spirit working through us, the New Testament church, is the restrainer of the Antichrist. And he cannot have his way as long as the Holy Spirit is on this earth. And let me say, the Holy Spirit lives in us. We are the temples for the Holy Spirit. So he lives in us. He doesn't live in the building. You can come into this church and it's a building, but when we're in here, the Holy Spirit is here. And then the Bible says he's only here as long as he's here, which means as long as we're here, the Holy Spirit's here and the restraining force is in place. Our prayer, our intercession against the evil that we see. And we've upped our prayer here, and our prayer and worship days have been wonderful, where we've prayed for our nation, prayed for the nations, and prayed for all those evil things that are coming against the church. And that's why Satan hates us. He hates families. He hates Christian families especially, and churches. He hates Christian preachers. He hates anybody, because the Holy Spirit together with us are the restrainers. And together we're the ones who hold back the hordes from hell from taking over this world. And at any time we could lose our freedom. We know that, just like that. We could see the economy crash. We could even be thrown in jail for persecution. And all of that is being restrained by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has a twofold ministry. Number one, to help the saints. We know he's our comforter. And he's here to empower us, to help us, and to hinder Satan. And he's doing both at the same time. Helping the saints and hindering Satan. And no wonder the devil hates church. And no wonder we've got a government trying to shut down areas of the church. So we will continue to sing. We will continue to worship. We will continue to pray. And we're going to continue to restrain the forces of evil, to give our children and our grandchildren more time to win this world to Jesus. And when Jesus returns, the church will cease. We will no longer be here. and the roadblock from Satan will be removed. And then when that happens, a flood of wickedness will come, and that will be called the Great Tribulation. We won't be here, remember. We don't need to be troubled. We won't be here. So a flood of wickedness will come, the Great Tribulation, and the Antichrist will be revealed. Revelations chapter 13, 16 and 17 says, "He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." And I didn't put it in, but verse 18 goes on to tell us the number is 666. And that number, if people, after we're gone, if they have that number, there will be no sign, no sale, no mark, no merchandise. You know, and this is all going to be, and I looked into this, and it makes sense, through computers, because the more machines act like men, with especially now with artificial intelligence at going crazy and taking over, you know, computers are taking over more and more. And then man is just going to fall right in order with what the computers do. And so this is how it's all going to come apart in the end. But we won't need to worry because we won't be here. And the Antichrist will immediately begin the reign of 7 years. And the first 3.5 years, he will be a global charmer. He will be handsome, Bible tells us that. He'll be powerful, and he will bring economic prosperity, so they think, all over the world. But then evil will spread without restraint. And in that time, there will also be people to be saved, praise God, during the first part of the tribulation. But after that will come days of torture and terror, anyone who's left behind. It's quite morbid, isn't it? But I'm getting to a good part. So anyone who believes in Jesus will suffer, and they will refuse to take the mark of the beast. But remember, here's what he said to you and me. When you start seeing all these things happen, don't be disturbed. Don't be troubled. Come and rest with us. And secondly, don't be deceived. The Antichrist will come with lies, and many Christians will turn away from holiness and from living the truth and the gospel. It will be mixed with this and that, and it will not be a pure gospel. But don't be deceived. In Matthew 24, 24, it says, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Even the elect. Some people that you think are really smart, they're going to be deceived. So we need to stay childlike and humble with Jesus. Even the elect will be deceived by the stuff that will get them into other things, thinking that this is the way, and pull them away from the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. But then it ends with a powerful thought. Don't be disturbed, don't be deceived, and don't be disappointed. Thessalonians 2:8, just as I read that again. "And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with his breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." So it's then that 666 will be taken over by 777. Hallelujah. So there is coming a day when all of evil and all of hell and all that Satan has got, he will come face to face with 777. And he will consume him with his breath. We won't be disappointed. We won't be disappointed when our Saviour comes. "And every knee shall bow," as I finish now, "and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." So don't be deceived just because everybody else is. Don't turn away. Don't fall away. Don't go back to wickedness, and don't be deceived. Stay true to God. And if you do, you will not be disappointed. He will protect us and he will provide for us, because he's coming just like he said he would. So what are we to do? We're to pray. We're to pray for our loved ones. We're to win souls. Be ready in these end times. Make sure that our hearts are right. And God can cause a great light to come onto the church. Comfort one another. Keep faith, hope, and love alive in times like these. And run to the arms of God. And be sure that our hearts are right with Him. It starts with us. Go after souls like never before. That's what I got this week. As strong as that sounds, that's the Word of God. We need to read all aspects of it, but we do not need to be troubled. We don't need to worry, because God has a plan, and it's a good one for us. We just need to stay the course with Him and pray for our loved ones. What an opportunity. It just reminds us how important it is to be praying, and when the Holy Spirit prompts us to witness to our loved ones or to whoever, because we need Him. It's the Holy Spirit's the one going to convict them. Quite often, not us, but the Holy Spirit. So let's be people that are committed to prayer, praying for our nation, praying for our church. Keep restraining, because God knows the time. But until He comes, that's our job, to stay alert and to pray. Amen? Okay. So don't take away a troubled heart. Take away the knowledge, knowing that God has the plan for His church and for His people and for us. Okay, we're going to finish with some worship.